from the point of view of a human ecologist, what are the most basic training needs you think need to be addressed as regards NBS and urban forestry?
It's a difficult question, and you're well prepared. I think the human aspect and working with humans also trying to find out what people find important regarding urban forests and how urban forests can help to deliver what people find important. It's something which I think is sometimes missing in
what you think are the disciplines or knowledge areas that that are lacking, you know, in addressing NBS and urban forestry, you know, I don't know, for example, health disciplines or environmental law, those knowledge areas that might be lacking in training as regards NBS and urban forestry.
Urban planning, maybe. Maybe also items relating to marketing, communication. And human, no, what is it? How is this called? Public relations, public relations, communication, marketing.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yes. I feel you mean that we are not communicating enough or not as good as we should be communicating, right?
But maybe we should be more listening to what people want and also why they do not want urban forest urban trees. From an urban forestry perspective, we are not enough attentive to why people have problems with trees. And it's only by knowing why people do not want trees in their street or whatever, can try to find solutions that accept these concerns, but overcoming the concerns and issues that people have with trees and forests and whatever trees and forests, but in a way that is adapted to people's concerns.
Yeah, you know, you were just answering my following question, which is how could we tackle urban forestry from a transdisciplinary point of view that includes citizens' opinions and takes into consideration their fears and uncertainties? How do we do this?
As I said, listen to people, but you can use surveys, but you can also use kind of co-design events and organize small events or be attending small festivals and festivities in the street and so on.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there are a lot of fears and uncertainties from citizens as on this regard?
Sometimes, yeah, but I think it's not, well, not necessarily fears, but concerns about leaf dropping, branches dropping, birch poo dropping, of course, and so on, but also the issue of if you want to have more streets, no more trees in the streets, usually this is by reducing parking space, so people are maybe not necessarily against trees, but they are against some people are against streets. So and when it comes down to woods or parks or forests, some people fear that there will be more criminality and so on. It's not the case according to research, but well, still there is a fear that we should be attentive to.
And is urban forestry economically viable in large, dense cities with a high percentage of concrete? Do you think this could be done?
That's a difficult question. It also depends how you define economically viable. If you have to buy as a municipality, if you have to buy land, buildings and plant trees, then it will be very expensive. I would not term it economically viable, but more maybe more socially viable. Return on investment to the society, but it's not necessarily paying off for the investment which has been made.
And how do you think we could best encourage knowledge exchange on urban forestry and its benefits between universities, businesses, authorities, and citizens?
There are lots of opportunities or possibilities, of course. I think the best way is to have case studies to show things in the field. Of course, that's we have a disadvantage with trees, that trees take time to grow. Citizens or with the neighborhood, I'm planting more trees in the neighborhood. You can plant one tree, but the full impact of the tree is only after 5 or 10 years. So that it is. Maybe some interesting approaches, but you also have this in Barcelona, I think, is these temporary trees or mobile trees where you have containers that you can put there. These are quite expensive solutions, but it can already give an idea on how the street or the neighborhood or the environment is.
Yeah, it's true. It's a very interesting solution. And what are the key aspects we should be looking for in an educator, an entrepreneur, a policymaker? Could you give us some examples that you might know of?
Specifically for urban trees?
Yes.
For an entrepreneur who is dealing with urban trees, I think has to find a way to create some benefit from profit in a way that is attractive to the policy makers. I think that's really a challenge. There are a lot of benefits of trees. I don't discuss this, but the issue is a bit some of these benefits on the one hand are virtual, and on the other hand they are benefiting other sectors, like I only yesterday gave this example in a meeting of experts. For instance, if a city is creating a new park or planting trees in the streets, there's definitely a positive impact on the on the public health, so less people will be sick. Which benefits, the monetary benefits of it are not going back to the city? Well, it depends a bit. I don't know what's this, I don't know the system in Spain of health insurance, but over here in Belgium, the health insurance is the federal state, and the it's the city or the regional government who is paying for more trees and forests. So it's the local administration who is paying, but the health benefits are going. Well, our savings in the budget of the health sector, like the Netherlands, the health sector or the health insurance is a private sector, so the benefits go to a private sector. And maybe that's something where there are a few examples where entrepreneurs act as in between, as intermediaries between the well, between providing the green space and the health benefits and getting a bit of funding from the health sector to fund their investments. And I think this can be really this is really important if we can find a mechanism to let's say, harvest a bit of the benefits outside the green sector and to investments made trees, implanting trees, but also managing trees, that can be really an important issue.
And just to wrap everything up, do you have examples of inspirational, successful, and innovative practices and promotion of urban forestry?
I know quite some. Well, I will give the example of my city here, in which is Ghent in Belgium. It's interesting. Well, I've also been involved in this project, which started around year 9, well, 98 maybe. And that's when the city and the Flemish government decided to sorry, just some neighbor waving. Yeah, so they have been developing a new urban forest of about 300 hectares at the edge of the city. So it has been a long discussions with landowners, discussions with the farmers who were still having the fields there. But in the end, now about 20 years later, I think they're still planting the final plots. So it has been a very long process. The landscape has definitely changed a lot, and it has definitely one counter, well, maybe one, no, not really disadvantage, is that it's situated in a quite rich and well-off part of the city already. So it's not really, I mean, the people who are really benefiting or benefiting most from this new urban forest are people who are already have access to green space. So people who are living in more dense quarters in the city have, well, it's farther away from these more dense quarters of the city than the more open quarters of the city. So this is maybe a negative point when you look at the
Right. Yeah, it's difficult when you have to deal with really dense, highly concreted cities. Yeah.
yes, but I will I've typed in the chat the name of the project, so it's Parbos, it's Spark Forest. They have chosen this name because it's not a, well, I mean, it's a mosaic of open landscapes and